Each year, Africa Day provides an opportunity to acknowledge the achievements of the peoples and governments of Africa. Celebrated on May the 25th, Africa Day marks the founding in 1963 of the Organization of African Unity, presently recognized as the African Union. The Union, comprised of 53 member states, has brought together the continent of Africa to collectively address the challenges it has faced, such as armed conflict, climate change, and poverty. It's a terrific occasion to shine the light on all things African, but that, of course, is an impossible feat. In fact, quoting from veteran journalist Richard Kapuscinski's book The Shadow of the Sun, in which he speaks of his travels and life in Africa, quote, "The continent is too large to describe. It is a veritable ocean, a separate planet, a varied, immensely rich cosmos. Only with the greatest simplification, for the sake of convenience, can we say Africa. In reality, except as a geographical appellation, Africa does not exist." End quote. So let's just say it's an occasion to shine the light on at least an aspect, an issue, or a geographical area. One African area which is hardly ever in the limelight is the Sahel, the semi-arid region south of the Sahara Desert. I spoke to the UK Special Envoy to the Sahel, whose responsibility is to promote stability, security and development in the region. He is the Right Honourable Stephen O'Brien MP.
The Sahel, as you know, is a very large region of extremely marginal land, just south of the absolutely dry Sahara Desert in North and West Africa. It effectively encompasses about 9 countries, about 100 million people, about between 10 and 20 million of whom every year are under extremely severe food crisis and shortage. The numbers of cases of severe acute malnutrition and moderate acute malnutrition are really eye-wateringly terrifying. And there have been crisis to crisis, as we've gone with some years sometimes intervening, sometimes almost year upon year. And it's not just water shortage and the lack of grazing opportunities for their animals. It's the huge population explosion in some of these countries, all in areas of land which is being increasingly desertified, both because of the over-exploitation and use of it, but also because of some climatic change effect. And this is also in an area where very little attention has been paid over the years by the international community, where there have been some really tough conflicts, but there have also been some extremely big governance challenges which have led to many people feeling marginalized and excluded. And so the current situation, given that there was a very severe threat to the region's stability in northern Mali in recent times, which the French in particular, but the international community responded to the Malian government, the transitional Malian government and its army's request to support them in repelling the terrorist attack to try and take over that country. And whilst that military effort has been at this stage successful, the big challenge, the much bigger context now, is for us all to recognize, as indeed I was very engaged with over recent years, in the development support. And that's both stabilization, but equally resilience. This is to do with food, access to water, access to services, and also just feeling engaged that so many people feel marginalized and excluded from their nation's affairs, and giving them a sense of shared ownership and engagement with their own country. So that's what's currently taking place. There's now a much greater international focus. I think there are grounds for much greater confidence that we can find a strategic way forward that is going to help the peoples of this area, not just not be under such enormous pressure for nourishment, but to build a much more stable area with greater capacity in their governments, and that will give them the resilience and over time the chance to build their economies, which is going to be the best service of tackling poverty. As we all know, any amount of donor Western money, any amount of mobilization of grant aid However huge and important that is at the time being, there is no better antidote to poverty than economic growth and giving people the chance to grow economically through private sector development rather than the sort of handout culture that has been so difficult in the past. So that's where we are with the Sahel at the moment.
But it's important to keep it in the news. I mean, it bounces to the headlines when there's a unrest like there has been in Mali recently, but otherwise it's just another forgotten area, a depressed area, isn't it?
Well, it's part of my job, and indeed it's a signal from the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, David Cameron, that in an area where we haven't necessarily had either a lot of interest or focus, that he has chosen to appoint his own special envoy, myself, to an area where it straddles so many of the traditional boundaries, either nation boundaries, and of course we all have various very strong bilateral relations with some of the countries in North and West Africa, whether that's the UK or France or other countries, but also bringing this together in a much more strategic way that makes it possible to look at the region as a whole, to identify the sources of instability and vulnerability for people and their governing classes, and to try and find the methods by which the international community can be most supportive in helping to create stability and therefore not just strengthen security for all the people in that area and wider afield, but also to give them economic opportunities as well as their protection in health and education.